Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Our call of the day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Let's head out to Tinton Falls. It's Mark. It's The Fan. What's going on, Mark?
I'm going to talk to you about Chip. I got four little dogs.
Oh, nice. What breed? What breed of dog? Yeah.
Chihuahua, a Yorkie type of Maltese mix, and then I got a little Yorkie, and also that didn't like me for 6 years, and also a Terrier. My girlfriend passed away 2 years ago, so basically, more keep them together, which they were both, you know, ours. So I do, and I'm busy, you know. Look, your wife who does, she's not big on the dog, and I'm an animal lover. Lock them both in the trunk for 3 hours. Go back and unlock the trunk. The one that there has the biggest reaction to you, that's the one you keep.
Your advice is to lock my wife and the dog in the trunk for 3 hours. And whoever is happier to see me unlock the trunk is the one that stays.
Yeah, it's an old joke. I mean, someone always
Great
says,
idea.
Put your wife and the dog in the trunk for 3 hours.
Let's be realistic here. Like, happy wife, but, happy life. Like, there's, I was talking to Hoff. Hoff was going, you have to make it through the next 2 years. I'm like, Pete, I'm trying to make it through the week, all right? Not necessarily the next 2 years. I'm trying to survive. Get me to Sunday, all right? And then we'll see how Monday looks. In terms of sage advice, Zoo, 1 to 10, in terms of, I mean, I think he was saying it in jest, but locking your dog and your significant other, and then whoever is happier to see you when you unlock the trunk is the one you keep.
I think both are going to be pretty pretty angry at you when you open that trunk, let's be honest. They'll both be a tandem at that point, though.
Right, exactly. There's no doubt. Sparky, Dobbs Ferry's up next to the phone. What's going on, Sparky? Hell of a call. What's up, Sparky?
Not much, Moose. First with Aaron Rodgers. The Jets brought this whole situation on themselves the second they allowed him to be coach and general manager of the team. Okay? Because I'm sorry, last year they bring a guy in. Making the playoffs, it's not what it's about. When you mortgage everything on this guy, you have to win the Super Bowl.
Well, that's it. You're no doubt 100% correct. You got to go out there and win the Super Bowl. That's the goal. You make that trade with the Green Bay Packers. You bring them aboard last offseason. It was due to injury, didn't work out year number one. Now let's hit the ground running. Focus in on winning football games. That's the goal year number two, no doubt.
I mean, I'm just wondering, does this guy care about the Jets at all? He should be 100% doing everything for the Jets, not going to Egypt. I'm sorry. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. And everyone's entitled to their own opinion. It could bother you, and that's fine. Well, I don't think it's outlandish. I think you can get frustrated because all you know, Sparky, is failure as a Jet fan. All you know is that, you know, it's not going to work out. You don't expect success. You expect gloom and doom. So this is going to be a predictor of the future. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I really don't. I don't think him not being there at minicamp and being over in Egypt and going on a vacation – which he informed the Jets about, who the Jets then made it a PR disaster with their head coach and the terminology that they used. He was talking out of both sides of his mouth. Instead of making the announcement before minicamp ever gets going that Aaron Rodgers is excused, we're A-OK as an organization, instead of as an organization saying there is nothing to see here, the Jets basically pulled back the blinds and said, look at everything. And that is a failure. That is what you don't do as an organization. And that's why Rodgers, as Rosenblatt told, you know, I mentioned before from The Athletic, said, you know, Rodgers was a little bit bothered by the way that the Jets handled the whole mini camp situation with him. Now, does that have any leak over when training camp gets going? No, probably not. But you could understand his frustration by the way it was handled. Because if he told them and informed them and told them all that he was going to be over in Egypt and he was not going to be there in minicamp, why'd the Jets decide to handle it as an organization the way that they did?
And, I mean, as far as the Super Bowl, I was in eighth grade when the Jets won the Super Bowl, okay? this. I actually saw one. Now, about the Alonzo contract situation, in my mind, the only person at fault for that whole situation is Steve Cohen, okay? Because when Alonzo was at the top of his game, at that time, they were giving him a little tough time with the contract, yet they had no problem offering $325 million to a pitcher from Japan who never threw one inning in the majors.
Yeah, but it's two completely different things, Sparky. When you're talking about Yamamoto, who ended up signing with the Los Angeles Dodgers, you're talking about the asset of a starting pitcher being a dominant starting pitcher, as compared to what Alonzo is as a player. And I respect Pete, but the value of the players are not one and the same. Pete's value as a power-hitting first baseman is not the same value or does not equate to an upper echelon starting pitcher who was downright dominant and brilliant over in Japan. That's not one and the same. So I don't fault Steve Cohen or David Stearns to flying over to Japan and having dinner with his significant others and family and all that and doing everything they could to wine and dine and convince Yoshinobu Yamamoto to sign here with the Mets. I don't. The Yankees were doing the same thing. He ended up wanting to be a teammate of Shohei Ohtani and the Los Angeles Dodgers, so he is gone. But you're part of the equation, part of the conversation. That has nothing to do with Pete Alonso. Alonso's negotiations are about, you know, his value, what he believes his perceived value is, what leverage he does have. You know, he's got to have a big second half if he's looking for the long-term contract that he's looking for. Otherwise, he'll probably, in essence, maybe sign a shorter-term deal and hit free agency after another couple big years. John in Easton, Pennsylvania is up next to the Fan. What's going on, Johnny?
How you doing, Mark? Enjoying the show all week.
Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it, bud.
Everybody calling in about Alonzo and moving him or trading him. I don't get it, because if I'm not mistaken, his numbers are pretty similar to Bryce Harper in Philadelphia. And could you imagine the uproar in Philly if this was the conversation about getting rid of Harper? So Alonzo is a very good first baseman. He's got a couple of years, you know, ahead of him yet. And his numbers, if I'm not mistaken, are very similar to Harper's. So what's the big deal about, you know, why do we need to get rid of him? Keep him.
Well, they're not really similar. Harper's hitting .301. Alonzo's hitting .240. From a power perspective, yes, 19-21 in the favor of Harper. RBI perspective, yes, yeah, similar. I mean, I think it's like 51-52-61 for Harper. So they're not really the same when you're looking at the players. Harper's also signed to a long-term deal. We're not having these conversations about Pete Alonso if he was signed long-term. He is not. That's where it comes into the equation because of him getting set to hit free agency after the season.
Well, I mean, I'd like to see him resign. You know, I mean, he's, you know, been there forever. He wants to stay there. You don't get that too often anymore.
Well, yeah, and he's smart. He understands that, you know, that the Cohen is the richest singular owner in Major League Baseball. I don't think that's the only equation. I think he enjoys being a New York Met. I think he would like to remain here, but he also wants to maximize his value too. So the question is, how do the Mets value Pete Alonso? How does David Stearns value Pete Alonso? And then what is Pete Alonso's value if and when he hits the open market? I think the idea of moving Alonso at the MLB trade deadline, to me, logically, that doesn't make much sense unless it's a multitude of moves. Whereas a call of reference where then you're moving, you know, Vientos over to first base, you're bringing in an everyday third baseman, and you're going from that perspective. But then you've got to find the team and the contending team that's willing to add Pete Alonso, and then what are you exactly going to get back in return? But I'd be a little bit careful there. You know, I'm hoping for Pete's sake that he has a big-time second half. And if he has a big-time second half, when you look at this lineup and how productive they've been, even though Alonso is underwhelmed here in the first 95-plus games of the regular season, and he comes down the stretch absolutely scintillating, then exactly where do the Mets end up? And you'd like the Mets' chances of not just being a contending team and a wild-card team in the National League, but also then being a playoff team. Mario, he's back with us, Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, Mario?
Nice show. Yeah, nice show. Little thing about Rodgers. I really think that, to me, I've been a Jet fan forever, and I'm a couple of years younger than Beningo, so I did get to see them when they won the when they won the Super Bowl years ago. So I really think that, to me, getting into the playoffs, winning one playoff game, I'm happy with that for this year. And then see what happens from there, you know? Because the Super Bowl, let's face it, you look at the Chiefs, you know, so you know what the percentage of them making the Super Bowl this year and they're the best team? 15%. It's not realistic to think all of a sudden the Jets have never been in the playoffs for so many years, they're going to win a Super Bowl. Get me into the playoffs. It's been so long, you know? And well, another thing is when...
Mario, you can, that's a realistic look at it, but the Jets are put together this year to try and win a Super Bowl. So if they make the playoffs, win a round, losing, say, the divisional round, or say they end up winning the division and end up losing in the AFC championship game, right? However way it looks. But if they end up getting, you know, that close and win a round, are you going to look back on it if Rodgers has a really good year and he's going to be like, I'm going to be back for year number three and everything's great? Yeah, then you're going to look at it and say, yeah, that's, we had a really wonderful season. A lot of great memories. Did the Jets fail ultimately at their goal? They did. Then the question is going to be is, well, what's the window looking like with Rodgers? How long is he willing to play? What's it going to look like at then, you know, 41, going to be 42 in December? We're looking at next year if he decides to suit up and play.
Yeah, can I make one quick point before you let me go?
Yeah.
The second point is when people start to say, oh, will he be injured? If you look at his career, the previous 5 years before that freak injury he had on the turf, and I believe the turf at MetLife Stadium had something to do with that, by the way. He played 16 games 4 years, 17 games 1 year. He's more like an Iron Man than he is injury prone. I don't really see him being injured. Thanks for taking my call. Great job in the afternoon.
Yeah, you got it, Mario. Appreciate it, buddy. I'm just concerned about how it looks with the injury that he suffered. That's all. I'm not going to tell you that he's going to re-injure. He's had collarbone issues in the past. I'm not going to tell you that he's going to re-injure his Achilles or suffer a hamstring injury, a groin, whatever it might be. It's not one and the same when you're looking at an injury history, say, to Daniel Jones. Obviously, Rodgers has been in the NFL for two decades. Jones has not. It's not to that level. It's a case of how does it look following that significant injury? That's all. At 40, going to be 41 in December. How does it look? How does he play the position? Does he have the same fluidity? Does he have the same escapability? Does he have the same movement in the pocket? All the things that you look at that have kind of, to go along with his decision-making, lack of interceptions, that has kind of defined what Aaron Rodgers is as a quarterback. Ability to elude the pass rush. Like all those things. How does it look for Rodgers now? Nobody knows that answer. Like, I can't tell you definitively one way or the other. I could tell you I think Rodgers wants to prove a lot of people wrong. Could tell you that Rodgers is, I have every confidence in the world that you're going to get a really good brand of Aaron Rodgers. Can I guarantee it? I can't. Because of these circumstances that we have not seen, given his age. 142, Malusis with you, 888-808-1019. Back with your busy calls and more next.